Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And a very good evening to you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. What a week it has been in the NBA. Plenty to discuss as the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver issues a lifetime ban and a maximum $2.5 million fine on Clippers owner Donald Sterling. Of course, the maximum allowed under NBA guidelines for his racist comments in that taped conversation. We've seen it all week long. Former and current NBA players satisfied with Commissioner Silver's ruling and with the suspension. And right now we're going to go to that audio from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver from his press conference on Tuesday.
Accordingly, effective immediately, I am banning Mr. Sterling for life from any association with the Clippers organization or the NBA.
And tonight we welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, Bill Ingram. He is the senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders. And Bill, we wanted you to come on tonight. We want to get your reaction to Commissioner Silver's ruling.
Well, I think it was extremely appropriate. He basically threw the maximum that he could throw at the commissioner. There's a sort of a limited amount to what he could do, but his scope was, he really threw the book, and it needed to be. A very strong statement needed to be because, just when you think we've sort of laid this issue of racism behind us, you have an NBA owner who is saying things that are absolutely, just disgusting to think that anybody, not only that they still harbor those feelings, but they're expressing them. And then when you're talking about a guy who owns a team in a league that is largely not white, whether they're African-American or whether they're foreign players, the NBA is such an internationally diverse league, how you can hang around with class individuals like Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford and DeAndre Jordan. I mean, these are, and, Danny Granger's on the team now. The guys on the team are such outstanding individuals, not to mention great basketball players. It floors me that someone that's in that position to be around those guys could possibly harbor these kinds of racist ideas and thoughts and express them in that way. And so I thought it was very appropriate, Adam Silver, the actions that he took, and I can't wait. I believe the Board of Governors is going to meet early before they have their next meeting is scheduled in July. But it's very important to put this behind us as a country, much less as a league and a sport and a team. You've got to put this behind you, and the best way for that to happen is for the Board of Governors to go ahead and meet. I've received emails of statements of support from 3/4 of them anyway, and so I think it'd be a very unilateral decision to remove him from ownership position and just get this guy out of the league. If that's the way you feel, then go take your feelings and go do something else. We certainly don't need you taking part in the NBA and in a place where race is certainly not anything that has anything to do with anything. There's just no reason to harbor that, and we don't want it in our game.
Swift execution by Commissioner Silver, and you were talking about the NBA Board of Governors. Hopefully they will act promptly. What type of timeline do you anticipate, Bill?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how quickly there may be rules governing how quickly a meeting can be called. Can they do it over the phone, for example? I don't know what the particular little details are, but I know that this is an extremely important issue. We don't need this detracting from the NBA, ever, but especially, the game is so, every night you're watching these amazing games. You want the focus to be on the games, and especially for the Clippers. You're talking about this might be the best Clippers team to ever wear the uniforms of that franchise. And they have a very good shot at going deep into the playoffs already up in their first round series. And when you're talking about the way the Thunder have struggled and the Spurs have struggled, there's a window opening for them to perhaps get to the finals. And you don't want any discussion regarding a team to have anything to do with this idiot. You want it to be focused on the amazing play on the court, the way that team has come together, their outstanding coach. You know, you want the story to be the team, the games, the playoffs, not this just really ridiculous distraction.
Well, my heart certainly goes out to the Clippers coach, Doc Rivers, and the players. I mean, it's been such an emotionally exhausting week. But this was a huge moment for Commissioner Silver. How do you think he handled it overall?
It was. This was, you know, I don't think he would imagine getting this kind of test this soon after taking the reins. You know, by the way, you're going to be commissioner for just a couple months, and then we're going to have you tackle the issue of racism. And okay, that doesn't sound good. But hey, he took it on, and he acted promptly. I liked that it was not, well, we're deliberating, and we're going to take some time. It was, we have deliberated, the decision has been made, and we're going to do the maximum we can do, and we're going to encourage them. I mean, his actions were exactly what you hope. You know, he proved, not that we had any doubt, but we proved that David Stern chose the right guy to be in charge. And here in what is just a massive challenge for him, he faced it and did exactly the right thing, in my opinion, and showed that, hey, the league's in good hands. We're going to make, the leadership that David Stern exhibited is not gone. We have a great successor in place, and he's going to take charge when he needs to take charge.
The senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. That, of course, is Bill Ingram, and talking about Commissioner Silver. I mean, he really had to do it, not only for himself, but to maintain any credibility with the players, the coaches, and just the NBA universally.
Absolutely. This could have been a huge fracturing issue. You know, you'd hate to see to let somebody who's one person with one extreme view be a point around which the NBA fractures and divides. You know, that could have been the result. There could have been a lot of anger and a lot of ill feelings towards the league and towards the team. And by taking such swift and definitive action, you've avoided that whole thing. Now everyone supports him. Everybody's sympathetic to what the Clippers are going through. And, you know, everyone's ready to move on and not associate the team with those comments, or the league as well. Heaven forbid you'd associate the league with the comments from one guy who's just kind of a nut job. He's been a nut job for years, so it's not overly surprising. But you don't want him to define the league or the team of players or anything.
You know, Bill, you have covered the NBA for many, many years. I know that you talked to the owners and so many of the players and the coaches and the front office. I mean, what were your impressions of the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, from the past?
I've never personally spoken to him myself, but we do have Basketball Insiders. We have two guys that cover the L.A. market, Lakers and Clippers, and I've been told in no uncertain terms that you just kind of walk around. If he's standing there, you just kind of walk around and give him a wide berth. Because if you engage him in conversation, he says things that you just start to wonder about the guy. And I've heard some specific things that there's no point in bringing them up. But suffice to say, he's not someone I would enjoy talking to.
How do you think the team just responded in that? There was obviously so much emotions.
Sure, I think they did what they had to do. You have to treat that as a rallying point. And I even spoke briefly to Darren Collison about it. Said, you know, you guys have to tune this out. You have to remember, this is the kind of thing that could completely destroy the season for that team if they allowed this to splinter them and get confused about whether they needed to win or not, or if we win, is it good for him? Does it help him? Is it? You can't think about that. What you have to think about is who the team is, their identity. They've worked too hard to finally get healthy, to have their identity under Doc Rivers. It's a new head coach this year, a new bunch of guys joining, some guys from the core group, and they've had to work hard to establish the chemistry and identity that they have, and you can't allow this thing to destroy that.
Bill Ingram is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We are up against the clock. We're going to take our first commercial break, and we'll be right back, rejoined with the senior NBA analyst of Basketball Insiders, Bill Ingram, in just a moment. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Here we are at hour number one, having a candid conversation with the senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders, Bill Ingram. And Bill, tell all of our listeners across the country tonight where they can go and check out some of your work online.
Well, I am the senior NBA analyst for basketballinsiders.com, so you can find us there. Our entire team moved over from our previous website back in January, and we're happy to say the whole team came. So basketballinsiders.com is where you find us. You can find me on Twitter at TheRocketGuy, and also usually hanging around an NBA arena somewhere in the Texas vicinity.
That's right, and always wearing red. I see you at the American Airlines Center. I'm like, Bill, what are you doing wearing red?
Well, when it's the Spurs and the Mavs, I try to appear
impartial.
You know, impartial, and so that means kind of looking for a color that now it happens to be the Rockets' colors.
Uh-huh.
Not saying it's a rock, I'm just saying, you know, you try to be impartial in this job.
Uh-huh. Okay, so talk to us about the big news obviously coming out this week in terms of with the Lakers. Who's going to fill that position?
Yeah, two things I'm addressing in the NBA Sunday, which is Sunday morning, NBA Sunday. The first thing is the Lakers position, which is, you know, we're hearing some names. Lionel Hollins has thrown his name, or at least his agent has thrown his name into the mix. And, of course, Steve Kerr is one of the big names that's being discussed for possibly the Knicks or the Lakers, the two highest profile jobs in the NBA in terms of coaching are both open. So all the available names, I'm sure, will be sorted through. But, to me, the biggest challenge facing whoever that person is going to be, really in both cities, but, targeting the Lakers here, is you're going to lose some games. I mean, that's a team that, you know, Steve Nash, if he comes back, is not going to be, I mean, he really needs to be a role player kind of off the bench or maybe an assistant coach. Kobe Bryant, who knows? I mean, the guy is as dedicated, really more dedicated than anybody in the league when it comes to getting healthy and staying healthy. Incredible work ethic and incredible drive. But the reality is when you're 35, 36 years old and you've had the number of issues he's had, it's going to be tough for him to expect to play some kind of MVP caliber ball. And then you've got a wide open roster. The only two significant contracts on the roster for next year are Nash and Bryant. And there's not a plethora of great free agents out there. Basically, I could give the Lakers the top five free agents from this summer's draft free agency class, and they're not a playoff team. So, there's a long road ahead for the Lakers looking down the road to 2015, really, when the crop of free agents gets really good. But when you talk about adding, say the Lakers could get Carmelo out of New York, which probably is not going to happen. They're really not that much better. And, they're targeting Kyle Lowry. Kyle's great. I mean, he's going to be probably the number two free agent in the class this summer, but he loves Toronto. Say you get him to leave and he goes to the Lakers. Are they a playoff team yet? No. So tough road. That guy, whoever that is that takes that job, is going to have a lot of work to do. They're going to have to weather some losses in the interest of long-term rebuilding, and they're going to have to keep Kobe Bryant not happy, but at least you're going to have to balance the flack that you're going to take from him if you're losing, because he just doesn't handle losing well, does not, hates losing with a passion. So lots of challenges facing the next Lakers coach.
Well, a lot of challenges, and obviously the Lakers are in rebuild mode. So let me throw out a couple of names to you. Let's talk some hypotheticals. Why not a Derek Fisher? Why not a Kevin Ollie? I mean, we've seen what Jason Kidd's been able to do with Brooklyn.
True. However, that's not the Lakers. I could see Derek Fisher, honestly, because he's beloved in the city. Obviously, he's had a lot of great games in the playoff period, but for the Lakers, he's had last-second shots to advance them in the playoffs, and he's been a big part of their program. And honestly, that's somebody who maybe, if you're Derek Fisher, you don't have a coaching record, and you take that opportunity. But to me, if you're talking about the Lakers, this is the Lakers. You need an established coach. You need somebody that's going to be a big name, that's going to get the respect of, people. Kobe has played, Derek Fisher has played with some of those guys, and I don't know that that's the right thing. I think you need somebody who's going to have an authority position, who's going to be respected, who's going to command respect, not only from the players, but also from the media and the fans. It has to be a wow. There has to be some wow value. And while that's a short list, I have a hard time, certainly not Kevin Ollie, I have a hard time seeing Derek Fisher even on that list above, say, Steve Kerr, who would have some wow value. He's obviously played on championship teams with San Antonio, but long career. And then he was a front office guy, helped build a very, very good Phoenix Suns team as their general manager. You need somebody with that kind of cachet to their name to take that job, because, like I said, it's going to be very, very challenging.
The senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders is joining us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. That, of course, is Bill Ingram. And so, Bill, give us the pulse. What do you think on these first-round games? They've been very, very exciting and intense.
Well, they have, especially in the West, where everything is if you're betting on Western Conference series, you probably lost some money in the first round.
True.
Already, because you've seen the top seed take their lumps. The Spurs have taken some lumps from Dallas. We have the second seed on the verge of elimination. We have a Portland-Houston series that has recorded a record number of overtime. No series ever had four overtime games to start a series, and then the next game was very competitive, and now that series swings back to Portland, and you know, all these series have been very competitive. Even the Warriors, who without Andrew Bogut have won a couple games from the Clippers, and you know, it's a situation where every series has been very, very competitive. Whereas in the East, it's been the incredible disappearing Indiana Pacers has made the Eastern Conference playoffs basically a yawner, because you're just waiting for the Heat to coast to the finals. Though I will be interested to see when they cross paths with the Washington Wizards. The Wizards have played some great basketball, so maybe there's hope that it might at least be an interesting series. But the rest, otherwise, the East has just been brutally boring, kind of like the regular season, brutally boring.
Absolutely. And, you know, tonight, of course, Dallas and Spurs, they're under in action and playing right now. What are your takeaways from how this whole series has played out?
Well, I think I've been watching, and these are two teams that I've watched, you know, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. I've probably watched more of their games than anybody ever anywhere as far as all three.
Uh-huh.
I watch a lot of Spurs, Rockets, and Mavs. And I've been at a lot of Spurs-Mavs games, both regular season and playoffs. And these are two teams that, even though the personnel changes around the fringes, you know, Dirk and Duncan know each other as well as anybody and play each other very, very well. And Carlisle and Popovich certainly know what makes each other tick. What we've been waiting for is for the Spurs to play Spurs basketball, which is great ball movement, great spacing, knocking down open shots, creating open shots, and Tony Parker getting into the lane and looking like an MVP. We haven't seen a lot of that. Some of it's been forced by the Mavs. The Mavs have done a great job of spacing on their own and using their very, very quick guards to take advantage of the. They've got a speed advantage on the Spurs backcourt, even on Tony Parker. When you talk about Devin Harris playing vintage Devin Harris basketball now that he's finally healthy, Jose Calderon playing fantastic basketball, Monte Ellis has been incredibly good, and you know, and Carlisle is using that rotation to his advantage. The Spurs have struggled to contain them in the paint, and then they're dishing out, and the Mavs have been lights out from three-point range, which if that is a recipe for winning, the Mavs could come back and win the series.
Well, it's certainly been fascinating to watch, especially Game 3. I don't think I got any sleep that night after Vince Carter hit that winning three-pointer. We've been working some overtime. Bill Ingram has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Does a fantastic job. Check out his work online. He is the senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders. Bill, perhaps I'll see you on Sunday, okay?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. All right. The NBA conversation continues inside the Quicken Loans studios right here in Houston, Texas at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And as promised, we have invited back to our program author Motez Bashara, who released his book, actually it was last year. It's titled Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan, where he set off on quite a journey. I have to tell you, he attended 31 games. It was a cross-continental quest to buy the best NBA tickets at the lowest possible prices. His attempt to get the best seat in the house. He's the ultimate bargain hunter, and we brought him back on. We also want to get his pulse on the first round of these very exciting playoffs. My man, Motez Bashara.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa.
Well, before we dive in and get your fill on this exciting, as I said, first round action, all I can say is, I mean, it's just been absolutely amazing to watch. Just all the overtimes, it's been intense, it's been competitive, but I want you to weigh in and give us your hit on the headline that certainly transcended all sports, the NBA delivering a historic ban against Clippers owner Donald Sterling.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fascinating, hasn't it? I think Adam Silver has commanded a huge amount of respect from the league, from fans, even from casual observers. I personally did not really expect a lifetime ban and this kind of definitive decision very, very quickly. It was incredibly impressive. It made a very bold statement. It avoided confrontation from potential players boycotting. That was the news that came out yesterday, that there was some rumbling from players who said they didn't want to play, and fans potentially, you know, avoiding the Staples Center, not coming. So I think the commissioner heard about all these rumblings, had very, very little time to react, maybe polled some of the owners who he's closest to and said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you guys think? And they backed him, and he thought, look, I've got the backing of some of the most important people in this league, and I'm going to come down as hard as I can on Donald Sterling and try and get this guy out of here. It was extremely impressive from that standpoint.
We've got to give a lot of credit to head coach of the Clippers, Doc Rivers. I thought he's been so good with dealing with all the adversity, a class act, and very exceptional.
Absolutely. Class act is the right way to put it. He's a poised guy. He's also a professional, and I think he expects the same out of his players. And at the end of the day, if you're a professional, no matter what kind of distractions are out there, you have a job to do and you have responsibilities, and I think you need to go out, once you get on the court, try and forget about it and just play your game. And I think he did certainly a good job the other night in Game 5 of rallying his players.
A lot of players certainly showing respect for him, but I thought it was really interesting listening to NBA TV and Rick Fox, the analyst there. He just said that, you know, he feels a special connection to Doc Rivers. You just love him as a coach, but you really respect him as a man and what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was a leader on the court when he played for many years with the Hawks and the Knicks as an all-star.
Sure.
And I think he relates to players, especially to guards. And, you know, his relationship with Chris Paul is probably very strong, and I think it shows on the court.
You're listening to the voice of Motez Bashara. Of course, the author wrote a book last year. It's titled Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. We're going to hit on that here in just a moment. So now, obviously, we turn our attention to the quest to remove Sterling as an owner. When do you think, I mean, Motez, I mean, what's your pulse? What do you think when this vote will take place? And I know the players, they want a timeline.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's probably an army of lawyers working on this. And from what I've heard, I don't think Donald Sterling is just going to lay over and give away the team without a fight from his own lawyers. So, I'm not a lawyer personally. There are enough lawyers working on this, and I think this could take a while. This might drag on till after the playoffs, and, you know, kind of in the quiet time of the offseason, we might hear more about this. But I don't expect anything to happen in the next couple of weeks. Also, you know, there's an ugly underbelly to this whole situation in that it's given some validity for people who have an axe to grind with other people to record their conversations, to expose private calls, emails, texts, and to bring them out into the public sphere and say, hey, look, everybody, you know, this is an awful person. I think he should be banned from his business or whatnot. I think with Sterling, this is an absolute extreme example. I mean, what he said was so, you know, vile that everybody, you know, unanimously decried him as somebody horrible and somebody who should not have anything to do with the NBA. However, you know, there's shades of gray underneath where, you know, if everybody's messages were exposed, you know, the world, nobody would talk to each other in the world at
it's
some
true.
Point, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the one thing I don't really like about this. And that is actually what surprised me about how hard the hammer came down, is that they completely overlooked that part and said, okay, we don't care how this news got out. We just know it got out and we're going to react to it. And fair enough, you know, that's a decision that they took. If it was me, I'm not sure I could have ignored it so easily, but, you know, what's done is done, and you know, more power to them.
Well, the reaction has been very strong, and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, so impressed. I mean, delivers an extraordinary punishment to the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling. You just have, there's some curiosity on my part in how transparent this vote will be.
Yeah, I think you're right. Unless it's unanimous, maybe, you know, some of the owners don't want their names associated with backing him, for sure. This is what I will say about it. Even if they can't legally force him to sell, and apparently there is a way that they can if they get a majority ownership, you know, vote against him. But even if it's going to be difficult, what they can do is make it very, very difficult for him to still want to own the team. I mean, if you own this massive asset and you can't even show up at any arena or have anything to do with management, at some point you're just going to feel like a social pariah that's just getting negative press day in, day out. And at some point they will squeeze him to the point where he says, you know what, I just don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what they're hoping we'll end up with. I know there's a case. We're jogging our memories back about 20 years where the owner of the San Francisco 49ers, Eddie DiBartolo Jr., he had some shady dealings with the governor of Louisiana. He was trying to get a gambling license. He paid $400,000 to the guy under the table, and that was all exposed. So he was busted for trying to cover something up, like, something up from the courts. And he was banned for a year and then was really marginalized and squeezed out until he sold it to his sister, who then took over the team. Now, whether or not Sterling can end up selling to somebody in his family, that's, again, a legal quandary. You know, okay, he's out. What if his son takes over? Who knows? I mean, it's going to be difficult, but we know for a fact there are more than enough people who are dying to buy the Clippers. So who knows? We'll wait and see how it all plays out.
Okay, Motez Bashara with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. So let's move ahead. Let's focus our attention on the first round coverage. How would you summarize this first round? Because it's been very intense.
It's been amazing. I mean, the parity in the league is obviously very strong right now. You know, you've got a lot of 8-1s going at it, you know, head to toe, back and forth. And, you know, there's a couple of teams, strong teams on the brink of elimination here. I mean, Indiana, boy, oh boy, what's going on with their team, huh? They're like imploding all over the place. San Antonio, Dallas, that's been a really competitive series. My team, the Brooklyn Nets, are on the brink of elimination. You know, they're struggling against Toronto. They actually angled their own position to get a 6 so they could play Toronto to avoid Chicago. And now Chicago looks like the team they should have played.
Right. With the Wizards bouncing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then you've got, you know, your own hometown Houston Rockets there. They're also on the brink of elimination. It's been amazing, wild, competitive, a lot of overtime games. It's been a really, really fun first round.
It certainly has. So you've been tracking and covering closely, obviously, the Clippers and the Warriors. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I think back to Game 5, certainly so much emotion in the building, but what has impressed you the most about this particular series?
I think the way that the Clippers have bounced back and shaken off all the distractions. I felt like as soon as they got on the court for Game 5, they were all business. You know, they managed to just be professionals and forget about everything. And from the Warriors' side, boy, their shooting streaks are incredible. I mean, I love watching their perimeter players. You know, the Splash Brothers, as call them. Yeah, I mean, those two. I just, you know, any game that they're on, I just want to watch. They're really fun to watch. I have to say, I think I would rather the Clippers win because I think they can go further in the playoffs. And I think the Warriors are a little bit limited with perimeter play and that doesn't take you that far in the playoffs.
Motez Bashara with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're quickly running out of time. It's been a lot of fun, obviously, to watch Blake Griffin, and he's got all that overwhelming athleticism, but he is not, what I've been able to see is that he's just not a one-dimensional player anymore. He's really developed a game below the rim. Okay, give us a plug, Motez, for your book that you released last year.
Absolutely. So Beating the NBA, it's all about my journey around the U.S., trying to get the best deals and to share my stories and other fan stories with everybody out there. I've got a Kindle promo deal coming out Friday, $1.99 for a Kindle copy. That's about the best deal you can get on the street. It'll show you how to save potentially hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars on tickets to all live events, the NBA or sports. And, you know, you can save some money and you could also get entertained and get informed and, you know, enjoy yourself, hopefully.
And I love what it says on the front cover. A must read, an author's love for the game of basketball and for bargain hunting is always apparent. Incredibly interesting and thoroughly enjoyable. Congratulations on that. Motez, we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Again, the title of the book is Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. Enjoy the playoffs, Motez.
Thank you so much.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close. Okay, Lissa Walker-Campbell, we are so glad you're along with us for the fastest 2 hours in radio. We're now going to turn our attention on this Friday night to some college football, and unfortunately, very disappointing news on Wednesday when we learned Heisman winner Jameis Winston cited for shoplifting shellfish for $32 worth of groceries. Some joke about it, but I have to tell you, when I heard the news, it is no joking matter. It's a very serious issue, and I think the symptom of something else. So we are delighted to welcome in tonight to the Quicken Loan Studios with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. That is 3-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, Jason Peter. How are you, Jay?
I'm good. How are you doing, A?
Hey, we're just going to get right to the conversation. So what was your reaction when you learned of the news on Wednesday and about Jameson?
Well, I mean, not to kind of pat myself on my back, but I think when he won the Heisman Trophy and we were talking about it, I said, you know, there's just something that comes out of this kid's mouth that just does not seem genuine.
I remember.
It's like all this, God's first in his life and how everyone's kind of marked him, with this, this idea that he's not a good person. Obviously, you have the rape thing, and there have been some other incidents in the past. But, I mean, come on, who goes into a grocery store and, decides that I'm going to order some food and I'm just going to walk out? And I think he knew once the cops showed up that it just, for him to kind of fight it, would ultimately make him look that much worse. But he's got to be smarter than this. I don't even know if it's about the decision making. I just think that's kind of who he is. If he can get away with something when somebody's not looking, then I think he'll do it. And that's him. That's his personality. I don't think this was just kind of a one bad decision in his life. I think there are just some people that will do that. And if the cops never showed up that day, I don't think, the public's grocery store should be holding their breath thinking that, he's going to come back and pay that bill anytime soon. So I think people, this is it gives people, I think, a pretty good, honest view of the type of person that he is.
Okay, so Jameis Winston, so he suspended Jason from the baseball team, but how do you like how Florida State has handled this? I mean, should there be additional punishment?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, what they'd be able to do. They're certainly not going to kick him off, the team. I mean, maybe, I guess, well, they're probably going to, he's pretty good baseball player as well. It's not like he's a guy that's just average in baseball. Let's just kick the kid off of that, and it makes it look like we're doing something, but at least we have him for football. I'm sure the baseball coach wants Jameis on the roster as well. But, I think you gotta remove him for the rest of the year, at least. I think there needs to be a punishment that is not just, because of the $30 in crab legs, but I think you got to look at the total package here. And if you don't do something, I mean, ultimately, don't you think you're just hurting the kid as well, too? I mean,
you're enabling him.
I don't think, his life is ruined here for, the remainder of his lifetime, but I think you have to do something drastic to let him know that, this is not tolerable. And because if you keep giving him kind of the slap on the wrist, they'll just continue to do it, because ultimately you have that like I can walk on water sort of mentality, and I'm bigger than everybody else, so the repercussions and the consequences aren't going to be as great as what they would be for a normal person. I think you got to do something, because ultimately this kind of behavior will just continue to happen over and over again.
Well, it's so stunning, because I think of Jameis Winston. I mean, I'm just like, what would motivate someone to do something so stupid to go in there? I mean, because now the trust is broken. It's been shattered. I mean, he's got a long ways to go to rehabilitate his image and his character in my mind. I mean, the doubt is there now in regards to all of the stuff from the past.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think even the people that were willing to maybe cut him some slack last time, and look, it's not like he stole a car or something. It was $30, but it's the principle of things. And I just think you can't let him slide, at least in continuing to hold him accountable for his actions. You just can't let this behavior continue.
Jason Peter with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You have to wonder, too, from a parent's perspective, how they would address and handle this situation, because I can tell you what, I'd either be calling my pastor or his therapist and get him into some serious counseling, because, like I said in the open, I mean, this is a symptom of, I believe, something deeper.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I don't know his parents. I don't know exactly how he was raised. You know, I just, I think whether his parents step in or if it's Jimbo Fisher or whoever, I think Florida State needs to step up here to the plate, and they need to let it know that, and let everybody know that, you know, this type of behavior won't be tolerated. You can't, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner. You're talking about one of the biggest figures in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you know, they're trying to win a battle here. I mean, the NCAA has got a lot of stuff on their plate here, obviously, you know, with the whole scholarship thing. I mean, they tried to do something here with, you know, being able to the food thing with, what is it? I don't know exactly how they phrased it off the top of my head with the unlimited amount of
right.
food. Maybe Jameis didn't quite understand that it just is, you know, down at the facility that you can't walk into any supermarket on the street and take what you want. But, yeah, I mean, they've got to make sure that things kind of, you know, don't get out of control here. I mean, they're trying, I guess, to raise maybe the scholarship checks a little bit. They've done the thing with the food. You know, you've got the whole unionizing thing going on out in Chicago at Northwestern, and now it's going to be an issue throughout the NCAA. So they've got a lot on their plate, and I think, you know, you got to kind of take swift action here with this Jameis Winston.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, to me, it's more than I saw some people in some of the articles online and everything that they were, you know, labeling him as very immature. He needs to grow up, but he obviously has some serious issues. And I just hope in 2014, Jason, that we get a Heisman winner, that there is no drama. Can that be guaranteed?
I think we don't live in that day and age, Alyssa. I think, you know, that's just, this is the way that kids are raised now. I think, you know, there's a lot of entitlement going on, and you know, with the success that these kids have at such young ages, and the amount of media, social media, you know, everybody's writing articles, putting these kids up on pedestals, they do really think that they are above everybody else.
Jason Peter has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can check out some of his stuff online at jasonpeter.com. Of course, next week we've got the NFL draft. We're looking forward to your perspective on that. And Jason, thanks so much for joining us, okay?
Thanks for having me.
Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.